Hi everyone, thank you for joining me on CNBC TV 18 Parenting Podcast. I'm your host Manisha Natarajan. I'm also a mom of two teenagers. My husband and I, even after 16 long years of parenting, are always left wondering, are we getting it right? Almost every day we have questions which we wish someone with greater wisdom or experience could answer for us. That's why the curious name of the podcast, Questions That Need Answers, #QTNA, because mom and dad have them too. Parenting is a long and intense journey, and for this podcast series, I'll focus on the school years of our children. The idea is to have more fun and less conflict as we help our children navigate their schooling years to grow into confident, happy, and caring young adults. Today's podcast is on the most debated conversation I hear all around me. How much of screen time is okay to give to your young children? Technology, after all, is a powerful reality of this generation. How do we make sure technology enables our children and does not disable them? For today's podcast and questions that need answers, Dr. Sapna Bangar joins us from the IT capital, Bangalore. Dr. Bangar, we are bombarded with technology devices, screens and apps, and it has stirred something of a moral panic amongst parents. My first question, how much screen time is okay for children in early school years?
The answer is the less the better in this case. So I completely agree that it is all over. It's everywhere at the moment. We just can't escape the digital kind of bombardment that we have at this point in time. There are guidelines, which the newest guidelines that have come up by the American Association of Pediatrics, clearly state that we shouldn't be giving any kind of digital screen time to children younger than 18 months. From an age of 2 to 5, the maximum, which includes TV as well as screen time, should not be exceeding more than an hour a day. And that too, it has to be along with parents. So there have to be parents or some kind of caregiver sitting with them and making it more interactive if it has to be that way. I think it doesn't serve the purpose for most parents, unfortunately, because for most of us, it is an hour of peace for ourselves. But that is the guidelines that state that, you know, just making a child sit in front of a screen or a TV is not healthy in any shape or form.
You've rightly pointed out, Dr. Sapna, that we modern parents are taking the easy way out. Well, it's easy to hand over a device and distract our children and get them off our backs, which is probably the first thing that you recommend we should break. What about interactive learning apps? I mean, there's so many of them wooing us. As we speak, probably there are hundreds of startups in your own city trying to develop the next big learning app for children. What do you feel about learning on devices? Would you recommend an interactive, fun reading app versus reading an actual book?
I am personally a book person. I think the most learning happens when children, you know, when that interaction happens with humans rather than a machine, because a machine can't interact back, can't get the emotions that the child is having, nor can child understand the emotions that are happening on an app or a screen. So it's always great to have a book in front of you and make it more interactive, because expressions on the face, the facial expressions, the kind of tonality of voice, all of that, depending on, and all of it is based on an interaction, human interaction between a child and the other, like, you know, parent or maybe a caregiver. So all that doesn't happen when there is just an app telling you a story. It might be interactive, or so they claim, but in the actual sense of it, it is, most of them are not that interactive anyway. So the new connections in the brain that we want the child to form are not happening, because it's just asking a child, for example, to tap on a screen is not interactive, even if it claims to be. It is more about when you say something and the child says something back, and then you ask questions about it. That is the true sense of interaction, which most of these apps don't have.
Okay, you're saying very important human interactions go missing if you substitute real learning with app-based learning or reading. What if the child is reluctant to read? Should technology come to rescue? Parents say, why not?
I think it could come to the rescue to an extent, but what we don't realize as parents is that it is a vicious cycle. So, for example, it's a common given that once people start using, say, an iPad or a screen or a phone, they find books very boring. And that is bound to happen. If you don't, for example, there are experiments to say that if you don't introduce a child at all to screens, they will take to books because they don't know that there is something else available. But once you introduce them to a screen, then it is very difficult to go back to books. And the main thing about these apps, so-called apps or the screen, is that they are very stimulating. So what happens is the child is constantly being bombarded with information. So they find everything boring after that because there is this hyper-stimulation that is happening. The downside of it is that it causes a lot of distraction. It causes attention problems in children. I'll give you my example of my four-year-old as well. Just the fact that he's gone on an iPad or once saw something on the iPad, he's quickly learned that he can skip an ad on the screen. He finds even TV boring to wait for those 5 or 10 seconds or 2 minutes of ad time. So that is where, you know, we are introducing a whole generation where we are providing them with too much of stimulation to the fact that anything else for them, even classrooms are going to be boring if we continue to give them lots of screen time.
Wow. You're saying that we're heading into a situation where kids could actually stop finding any learning in their classes interesting. So let me ask you this other hard question. Parents own obsession with their phones. It's an epidemic out there. So much so that 150 kids in Germany's Hamburg city recently held a protest against their parents' excessive use of mobile phones. One of the posters said, "Play with me, not with your cell phones." Could you give us parents some tips, Dr. Sapna, on how do we disconnect from this always connected world that we live in? We need to keep a check on our emails, our work-related WhatsApp, also have this constant need to keep up to date with information, news, our social media account. We fear we'll miss out something. It's endless.
It is endless. It is endless. The pressures of work are endless as well. There are timelines that people have to match. There are pressures that you have to check your emails within certain times. So this, as you say, we are a hyper-connected world. But if we are aware of the downside of it, I think we need to educate ourselves about what we are doing to this generation, to just be mindful that sometimes I just say to my clients and myself that, you know, we need to start with small times. Just start with probably 10 to 15 minutes in a day where you don't touch your phone, or, like, you know, you just have that one-to-one time with your child where there is no distractions, no nothing. And I think all of us can spare, you know, at least 10 to 15 minutes. Start with that much and gradually build it up to probably having a weekend once every 2 months if it's not that. But a complete kind of detoxification from screens. It will do wonders. It does do wonders, and it will do wonders because we need to give that to this generation, I think. So it's not too much to ask to say 10 minutes in a day, don't touch your phone, and just give your child that one-to-one interaction where you are completely disconnected from the external world and you're paying full attention to your child. I think when I started doing that with my 8-year-old, I just noticed so much of a difference that she started coming and talking much more to me just with the fact, and she looks forward to that every day. I am talking to her all the time, but it's just like, you know, oh, that me time, that is very important for a child who's growing up.
So what you're recommending is a digital detox for parents, starting with 10 minutes at least. Okay. Coming back to children and your recommendation that set time limits for screen time, and you've specified how much that should be for different age groups. But I've seen kids having meltdowns or having, you know, fierce battles with their parents. They cite other kids, their friends, whose parents have different rules and allow more screen time. How do you overcome that challenge?
What I say is, you know, every house has its own rules. You are not your friend, and I'm not your friend's parents. They might have something that they get, but they might not have something that I give you. And similarly, like, you know, let's not compare ourselves to anybody else. This is our family, and this is our rules. So I always start with those boundaries. So whenever that argument comes up to say, you know, someone so-and-so has this, I say, but are they you? No, they're not. So, you know, let's not go there. Let's talk about you and me and our house. And what are the rules in our house? Where do we stop comparing ourselves and wanting to be? Yes, it has to be that as a parent, you have to put down boundaries. And those boundaries are, as I say, let's not compare with anyone else. This is our rules between you and me. That is a discussion that you can have with your child right from the beginning.
Parents use, you know, WhatsApp groups for having so many conversations. Discuss tests, syllabus, studies, activities. Do you recommend that they should also come together, form groups and set digital rules?
I think there are a lot of parents who are getting mindful about the ill effects of, say, screen time, and they're getting better with it. There will always, unfortunately, be parents who might not agree to what we are saying. They might have their own, you know, as I say, some parents, for example, I know parents who work or have to travel for work, and for them, it is the safety aspect about having a phone with their child. So every parent has different needs. Let's not judge them for what their needs are. So to say that one kind of blanket fits all might not be the answer as well. So what might be right for my child? I know screen time is something that we need to focus on. But for example, having a phone, if we say a phone should not be given to a younger child, the needs for that parent might be a little different. So to agree on everyone to say, you know, this is what we are agreeing might not happen. It's great, it's ideal, but in today's day and world, probably it's not going to happen.
You know, another thing that I often see and worry about, parents just handing their smartphones to their child and they get busy. There's so much inappropriate content out there on the internet, and it's so dangerous to leave a child with a device unsupervised.
It is very dangerous, and I think we don't realize that. In fact, when you see even cartoons for toddlers, the advertisements that come up on channels is scary. You know, even when you think that there is cartoons, these are younger age groups, but the ads that come up, pop up, which parents are probably unaware of, if you don't see what is happening on the screen, can just be so dangerous. It is absolutely necessary to have age-appropriate parental controls on any devices. And in spite of that, when there are children as old as, say, up to 18, it is quite necessary to be open about the fact as parents is that I am going to once in a while check your browsing history. For younger children, absolutely. Every, like, you know, just go and check what is happening on their screens, because they can easily maneuver from one channel to the other or on the screen, especially. It's quite easy. It's swiping and you go to some completely unwanted channel. It is a minefield out there on the internet at this point in time. They are highly vulnerable at that age group because they don't, you know, it's biology. Their brains are not at, even at 16, they're still in a developmental phase. They unfortunately at that time, most of them are working through their limbic system, which is the emotional system. So actually planning, actually thinking about the pros and cons of what they're doing has not fully developed. So they're highly, they are a group that is highly vulnerable to being taken for a ride. So it's absolutely necessary to keep a track on what they're doing.
Dr. Bangar, thank you so much for joining us and answering all our important questions, or important questions that mom and dads have on screen time for young children.
Yeah, thank you so much, Manisha. It was a pleasure.
Honestly, how often do you remember using that phrase, "I'm bored," while growing up? That, as Dr. Sapna Bangar pointed out, is the biggest fallout of instant digital gratification. Our children are losing interest in real activities and games which need patience, which needs getting along with other friends and people, human beings. I remember spending hours every day of my summer holidays simply daydreaming and cooking up stories in my head. Our kids have got used to packed days with always having something to do and filling up all the blanks or their free time with some sort of digital. Let me share a personal experience of parenting. My daughter loves art and craft, and when she was about 7 years old, she would often get together with her friends to make stuff from discarded knickknacks around our home. A few years ago, she started pestering me to allow her to watch DIY or do-it-yourself videos. I saw a few along with her, found these videos both useful and fun actually. So I said to her, go ahead, you can swap your allotted 30 minutes of TV time with these videos. Initially, she would watch the video and try creating the same craft by herself. So we got a dollhouse out of a shoebox, discarded toilet rolls, became lovely pencil stands. In fact, she made tube tops for herself from old t-shirts of mine. But soon, it all stopped. Instead of doing more craft, she started doing less. After several tactful conversations, I finally got to the bottom of the puzzle. She stopped because she was frustrated. Her creation never ended up looking as good or as gorgeous as the one a young, peppy 14-year-old was creating in that YouTube video. Can you imagine my shock? My daughter's enthusiastic learning had been hijacked by her feeling of not being good enough. So here's my final word on digital and children. It has more to do with us than them. We, the parents, need to model a far more thoughtful relationship with our own devices and recognize that it's our behavior that sets the tone. No distracted conversations with your child while you're texting or checking Instagram. No smartphones at the dinner table. No binging on Netflix and Amazon videos when children are at home. Do it when they're not. And while technology is marvelous and so are apps and devices, our children won't lose out on anything important if we limit screen time. Technology is important, but not as important as their well-rounded growth. I'll sign off here. Thanks for listening in. I'd love to get your feedback on today's podcast, your own thoughts and experiences of parenting, and even your parenting questions that need answers. So drop us an email at parenting@nw18.com and be a part of our enriching conversations.